Good morning, gentlemen. A question to all. What is the biggest concern in your mind today? Let's go around the room. Who's biggest concern?
My son, my wife, my father, and Eretz Israel.
Your son, your wife, your father, and Eretz Israel. Thank you very much. Your biggest concern?
Short term. Today.
Right now.
Right now. I have to meet with somebody who owes me a lot of money.
Good, thank you. That's good. I don't want to hear the details because it's going to be on tape.
He's going to pay me.
And?
I know he's going to pay me.
Oh, so why are you concerned?
I'm not concerned. It's something I have to take care of.
Ahem. It's on your mind.
It's something that has to be done.
What's on your mind right now?
Listening to you.
Listening to me. Okay. Flattery gets you everywhere. Beyond listening to me because I'm already here.
Let's take your cat coat off and stay a while.
Well, the next speaker come on.
Will the next speaker come on? Okay, you don't have many concerns. Very good. Next question for the room. Those concerns that you have that are on the forefront of your mind at this moment, do you believe that it is appropriate and suitable that it be part of your davening?
To the extent of your kavana, then why shouldn't it?
Where?
In the davening?
Yeah. We daven today with a sitter. That's no secret. The sitter tells us everything we're supposed to say. We say it. How is your concerns, what's at the forefront of your mind at this very moment, place, and time, come out when you stand before God in prayer?
It's actually not easy.
It's actually not easy. Why is it not easy? You know, I'll tell you something that really concerns me.
My concern, first of all, it's not a concern. It's just a plan for the day. And my concern, I completely put out of my mind when I was davening. And it's not something that I'm davening about. It's just something I have to take care of today. Another thing I have to take care of today is renew my car registration.
Okay.
But it's not something I would.
So I don't
know,
Menashe. I don't say. So here is exactly where I have to humbly disagree with you. You said something that really concerns me, and that is that these are things I have to take care of, but it's not something I'm davening for. And my question to you is, why not?
Because I'm davening. Because I'm davening for. I really want to thank. I had an operation recently, and I want to thank Hashem. I came out of it healthy.
That's great. You want to thank Hashem. That's absolutely appropriate. My question, though, today was not, do you want to thank Hashem? But that's part of your davening. Where does that come out? Where in davening do you thank Hashem? God, I went to an operation.
Okay.
And thank God I'm here alive and well. Thank you, Hashem.
Well, it starts out right away with Moda Ani in the morning.
When you say Moda Ani, you have in mind your operation?
I have in mind the fact that I'm able to walk.
Okay, so now exactly is my concern. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Chet Amud Bet. Lamed Chet, anyone want to translate? 38b. I love saying B and A. Says that there's a pasuk in Bereshit, Zeh Sefer Toldot HaAdam, this is the book that will tell you what will happen to human beings. Melamed, it teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Dor V'Dor Shav, Dor V'Talmidav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, came before the Jewish people and showed them everything that's about to happen. What's going to be in each generation? From that Gemara you can deduce many things, but one thing you can deduce easily, that every generation will be?
Will exist.
Every generation will be?
Jewish.
I didn't see that in the Gemara. Every generation will be?
As God had laid it out, but the tree plants it.
Could be. Every generation is? Beyond that? Everything you said is correct. There's nothing wrong with that. Different. Because if it wasn't different, there wouldn't be a book. They'd be a little pamphlet, a paper. This is the human being. Nothing changes. No. Every generation will be different. If every generation is different, I throw out the following question. Chazal told us every day to say 19 blessings in Shmoneh Esrei. They also said that Shmoneh Esrei, the Amidah, is the actual standing before God, going into God's inner chamber. And we have various sources for this. My question is, if every generation is different, how are we supposed to daven today if our concerns, if what's on the forefront of our mind doesn't come out in davening? I mean, we're saying the words, You get a check on that. Full points. You bowed. Got a check on that. How is your davening connected to real life? Or let me put it another way. How is davening realistic? We are asking people to daven in a strange language for things they don't even need in a place they don't want to be in? Is that what we're doing?
Wait. Even though each generation is different, the majority, first, you've got 2 points there. Number one, the Shemona Esrei and the davening was written by not poets, but Nevi'im, who tailored it towards the needs of every generation. It brought into mind all the differences.
That's correction. Anshei Knesset Agdola. That's not Nevoah. That's what's called Ruach HaKodesh, but right, close enough. And they tailored it in a poetic way, and I'm not about to change it. So here we agree. Continue.
And they tailored it in such a way to fit the needs of the upcoming generation until Mashiach comes, and each generation, though different...
One second. I agree with you too, but I just want to see how that's practiced. They tailored it to meet the needs of every generation until Mashiach. Okay, regarding the until Mashiach part, we can discuss at a later point. Will it change at Mashiach? I'm not so sure, but that's a whole point in and of itself. Let's go back a step. They tailored it so it would meet the needs of every generation until Mashiach. Let's explain. How is you today standing before God and saying, Barech aleinu Hashem Elokeinu et hashana hazot ve'et kol minei tevuata letova, meeting the needs of our generation? How many people do you know are farmers? How many Jews do you know are farmers? Now that's an unfair question in Israel because we have many kibbutzim, but we're all Anglo-Saxons. We came from America and other places. How many Jews do you know are farmers? And therefore, the concern of having rain and thus delicious fruit is like a real concern. One second, let me continue a step further. We can import from various places today, so how is that a concern?
Because I'm davening specifically for wine for Kiddush, or grape juice, because I don't drink wine.
Wine for Kiddush and grape juice.
Because I don't drink wine.
That's what you're davening for in Baruch Aleinu.
Two other things. Davening for to make sure that there'll be good wheat for the matzah, which I'm going to need for Pesach, and a good crop of lulav and esrog and the other species, so I can bench lulav and esrog on Sukkos. So I'm davening for a good crop for those.
How about money? You're davening for money, or you're only davening for mitzvos? And that bracha, Baruch Aleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, blessed be you God, this year.
I don't think of money when I'm...
You're a big tzaddik. How many people do you know, Menashe, do think of money?
I'm not a big tzaddik, it's just that I'm small-minded. And I can't think of that many things at one time.
Nice.
You know, when I think of those three, for lulav and esrog and the matzah and the kiddush.
So every day, I want to understand.
My imagination, I can't think about money.
Today is Kaf Bet Teves, the 22nd day of Teves. You're thinking about your matzahs.
Yes.
Okay. And you're thinking about your lulav and esrog for next year.
I was discussing with my wife about the matzahs that I can definitely answer. I was discussing with my wife just this morning what we're going to do. Okay, so that's...
There you go. Your concern right now is this coming Pesach. How does that come out in your davening? Where did the word Pesach come in? It was in your mind? Did you say it? Where?
In my mind when I was...
It was in your mind when you said Baruch Aleinu?
No, it wasn't in my mind. It's something I was talking about with my wife, but I wasn't thinking about it.
Why wasn't it in your mind when you said Baruch Aleinu?
Because I was thinking just about the matzah.
Matzah was in your mind?
Yeah.
Why didn't you articulate it?
Because it wasn't in the words written.
Ah! Here comes my problem. This morning I'm in davening. And I am a kind of guy that goes to davening, and I wrote a book on davening, and believe me, davening is important to me. But it was so important to me that I couldn't help but eavesdrop. What can I do? I couldn't close my ears. And in this davening, I'm sitting there, and right after Shmoneh Esrei, two people in front of me, youngsters, teenagers, wonderful new Jews, come out and say, and I quote, you ready for this? You have a test today? Yeah, hope we get a good mark. Yeah, I need it. Yeah, did you study? Yeah, okay. That's what they said after Shmoneh Esrei. So I'm sitting there and I'm saying, should I mind my own business? Shouldn't I? Should I? Maybe, yes, no, I don't know. Finally I said, I can't help myself. I'm going to do it. So I wear a suit and tie, so sometimes people think I'm a rabbi, sometimes they think I'm a lawyer. I said, nope, shiyeh ma'iyeh. They'll think I'm a picky lawyer, or I have a big nose as a rabbi. I said, excuse me, gentlemen, can I ask you a question, and it's none of my business, and you can say none of your business? They said, sure. I said, your concern today is this test? Yes. Did you daven for it? And they looked at me, dumbfounded. 5 seconds later, where? Doesn't say test in the sitter. I said, yes, it does. They said, no, it doesn't. I open up the sitter. What is the first blessing of petition, request, that we request from God every day?
Intelligence.
Intelligence. You give intelligence, a mind, to people. Choneinu mi'itcha, please give us from you, from your wisdom, chokhma bina vehasbel, chokhma bina vedas, each according to their nusach. Correct? What do you think I said about in that blessing, asking for intelligence, a mind, for you to say, may I pass the test today with flying colors? They looked at me. No. I said, why not? Because it's not written in the sitter.
The kavanas are not.
This blew my mind. Do you really believe, do you truly believe that these Anshei Knesset HaGdolah that Menashe mentioned, who said this will be the most appropriate, suitable things to say until Mashiach comes and you stay before God, believed, truly, that that would be true and this would happen this morning in davening? What happened was, they were concerned about the test and davening was totally detached from whatever concern they had. They had a concern about a test. This is the first thing they said after Shmoneh Esrei. And davening, nothing to do with that.
Well, is davening a wish list for you,
Rabbi? You got it. It is a very long wish list. Sometimes your wishes are indeed in there, and sometimes they're not, and you just daven for those that need it. 100%. These people needed intelligence. The first bracha. Maybe you don't have kavanah for the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. The first bracha of petitions is intelligence, mind. At that moment, don't you think it was appropriate to say, before the Master of the Universe, Master of the Universe, allow me to pass the test today with the wisdom you have bestowed upon me, or not? What do you think? Halachically, hashkafically, do you think it's a good idea in your personal amidas to add that in?
Certainly, if you think it'll help, you should. It's a good idea if you think it's going to help.
You think it's a good idea? I think it's a good idea. Is it halachically permissible? Now let me tell you a little secret about Israel. When you're in Israel in schools, once upon a time, the biggest punishment that you can hear about is Kuf Yud Tet, 119. You know what that means? Anyone here went to school in Israel?
No.
Alex?
I know what it means.
Kuf Yud Tet is what?
Psalm 119, the longest
psalm. 119 is the longest psalm in the book. It goes by the Seder of the Alephbet. If God forbid you're at a graveside and you have to say Tehillim, for the person that you're saying Tehillim for, that you're commemorating his Yahrzeit, usually say it by the Otiyot of his name. So let's say his name is Moshe. In Kuf Yutet, you say subdivision Mem, subdivision Shin, and subdivision Hey. So if a teacher really wanted to get you, he'd say copy Kuf Yutet. Now, I wasn't smart enough when I used to hear that. In Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kuf Yud Tet, 119 in Aruch Hayim, in the first section of Shulchan Aruch, is very short. As a matter of fact, it is just 4 subdivisions. That's it. Kuf Yud Tet. This, in my opinion, has to be must teaching for schools today when you spoke about davening. Because if not, your concerns, your life are going to be over here, and your davening is going to be over there. Totally detached. An unrealistic davening. No, daven for Baruch Aleinu and daven for Slach Lanu and have kavana. Okay, sure, I'm going to have kavana for what? For what it says. What does it say? It says Slach Lanu, but I don't have any averas. Teachers are not teaching that. They want to make sure you know the sitter so you can all daven Adon Olam Asher Malach. We all sing together, we're all happy. You think people are going to daven that way for years to come? You think this is what Chazal had in mind? Of unrealistic davening? This is what they had in mind. I quote from Shulchan Aruch, 16th century. Rav Yosef Karo codifies the law that everyone should know. And in my opinion, it should be in your talis bag. Im ratza lohosif b'chol bracha meha emtsayot mi'ein ha-bracha mosif. If you want to add to the bracha in Shmoneh Esrei, the holy Shmoneh Esrei, the one man baran shekneset agdola, I am not advocating to change it. I love it. If you want to add into your Shmoneh Esrei your own private request that has to do with that subject head of that bracha, says the Shulchan Aruch, what do you do? Mosif. Ketzad. I love the ketzads. The minute you hear Chazal or Rishon say ketzad, you know he's going to take your hand and walk you through it. If not, you got to figure it out by yourself.
What do those Hebrew words mean?
Ketzad. How?
What does Mozart mean?
Mosif. Add. You add it. How? Hayama chole. Someone sick at home. A flu. Mevakesh alav rachamim bebirkat refa'enu. You ask for mercy from God that he should be healed. Where? In the bracha of refa'enu. What does refa'enu, Hashem b'nei rafay, mean? Heal us. There you add in the name. And some sitters on the bottom, it even gives you a nusach to say. But he doesn't end there. And sitters don't quote this for some reason. Hayat zarich parnasa. He needs a livelihood. What Jew doesn't need a livelihood? Mevakesh aleha bebirkat hashanim. Where do you ask about it? In Birkat HaShanim. That bracha, Barech Aleinu, has nothing to do necessarily per se with wheat and with rain. Rain is in there, but rain is an expression of livelihood. So once upon a time when most Jews were farmers, that was it. Today we do need water. We can't live without water. Menashe says he needs wheat for matzah. He needs a little of an esrog. But Chazal, their understanding of that bracha for generations was, in this bracha you will ask for livelihood. So if one day you get up and you have a problem of livelihood, you can't make your mortgage payment, where will you talk about it? Where will you add it in? In Barech Aleinu. They didn't think that for all generations you're going to say what's in the Siddur and that will be enough. No, they said, I'm giving you 19 subject headers. And I'm giving you 19 frameworks. Picture frames. How do you paint the picture? If you have a specific need, you add it into the picture. An artist puts in what he feels to the picture. You have to add in what you need. This is a siman in Shulchan Aruch. This is not a deep, dark secret somewhere in a Kabbalistic book. If we want davening to be normal, we need to put in our normal life into it. If we want davening to be abnormal, sort of like this spiritual hiatus that has nothing to do with life, then just say the Siddur and leave. But if we want it to be normal, you have to connect it to normality. In my normal life, I'm thinking about money, and I'm thinking about this person that's sick, and I'm thinking about your father, your son, your wife. You have to be in your davening. In there, 19 subject headers, try to find the place that it meets. Now let's say Jerusalem learned the davening with the English translation, every word, 1, 2, 3. He can't find anywhere that connects to his wife. No bracha about your wife in davening. Maybe that's better. I know many Jews that, I don't want to say what they think of their wives. Maybe it's better. But Bruce is concerned and loves his wife. He wants to daven for her. Where does he put it in? Shema Koleinu. General bracha. He puts it into Shema Koleinu. And I call it, Uveshomeya Tefillah, Yechol Yishol Kol Tzrachav. Shehi Kolelet Kol HaBakashot. What does this siman teach you? Just give me 2 more minutes, please. 2 more minutes. Thank you. It teaches you that your personal domain was always supposed to be part of your davening. It wasn't supposed to be davening, personal domain outside of davening, but rather your personal domain is part of your davening before God 3 times a day. Chazal gave you an avenue, a framework, a way in. I'll use a term from the world of contractors. A conduit that you could put through wires. This is your conduit. You have Chochma Bina Vedad. So how in my life do people stand before God? On the forefront of their mind is a test. And Atachonein Adam Da. Oh, that has nothing to do with my test. Answer, there's something tarnished about our system when we talk about davening. We too much, too often, what do we emphasize? The sitter. You have to daven the sitter. The sitter. I love the sitter. I wrote a book about davening. The sitter is supposed to be a book which allows you to spill out your heart. Is it easy? No. But just look at the halacha. I'm not giving you a Kabbalistic point of view on daven? In the halacha, kuf yutet. If you need to add what's on the forefront of your mind, add it. This, it will create a davening that's normal, that's connected to life. And therefore, Menashe, I hope I taught you today something that you can use for mincha. If you're worried about your matzah, and your lulav and esrog, your chag matzos hazeh, you want to know what to do? So if you don't know what to do, in a tachonein, say, God, give me the chokhmah bina v'dat, so I can make the right decision. If you know what to do, but you need to pay for it, in barech aleinu. And if you know what to do and you need to pay for it, and you just want to ask God for it to be successful, where would you add it in? Shema Kolein. In your own words. In English. God understands English, the last I checked.
And I don't speak English, I speak American.
American is okay too.
Is there any fear of, if you personalize things, imagine the key to this issue, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, whenever they ask to get over this problem, but he never gets over the problem, but he asks every single day. Right. Someone could then say, you know what, God either is saying no or not listening to me.
That's a very good question. That's a very, very good question. Unfortunately, I don't have the time now to deal with it. But I just want to say, and I'm not giving justice to your excellent question by answering it quickly, but I'm going to attempt to say two things. Number one, sometimes the answer is no. And we have to accept the answer sometimes is no. God said, no. I've been davening for Jonathan Pollard, I don't know for how many years. I don't know for how many years. I can't even count. And I say his name every day in my davening. The answer could be no eventually. Just like I tell my kids no sometimes. And they want it, and they're requesting it, and they're crying for it. The answer is no. Number two, and again, I'm not doing justice here, but sometimes the no is for your own good. In Shema Koleinu, we say, Kabel berachamim uveratzon. Accept with mercy, but also accept with, what's ratzon?
Your will.
Rachamim means have mercy on me, give me what I want. Ratzon, explained Rav Soloveitchik and many others, means that it's for your best interest. God, who knows everything, knows, okay, this request will be good for you. But sometimes you want a job so much, you think this is a great job, but it's not for your own good. God doesn't give it to you, and a few years later you find out, oh, thank God, God didn't listen to me. Rav Soloveitchik gave a terrible example, tragic example. He said, I wanted a job in Europe so much, probably a rabbinic position, and I davened for it, and God didn't give it to me. Said Rav Soloveitchik, thank God he didn't give it to me. Because I probably would have what? You can understand what happens if in 1930-something, Rav Soloveitchik is davening for a rabbinic position in Europe. You can guess the end of the story. What would probably happen. In all probability. 6 million to 1. So, I'm not doing justice to your excellent question. But one thing I will say, and this is my third comment. Even if you think God won't grant it to you, why not ask for it? What harm could it do? It can only do good. Don't we always say Be'ezrat Hashem with the help of God, Emirtza Hashem? Why can't we say it in davening? It seems like when we come to davening, it has to be abnormal. We don't ask for these things. But outside of davening, Be'ezrat Hashem, Emirtza Hashem, Be'ezrat Hashem, Emirtza Hashem. The other day a person kept on telling me Be'ezrat Hashem, Emirtza Hashem. So I asked him, I threw it at him because my book was on the table. It just happened to throw out. I said, did you ask for it in davening? And again, I got the look. No, davening is the sitter. Of course davening is the sitter. That's the subject heads. Insert it. Think of the cut and paste. It's on my mind. I'm pasting it into the sitter today because I have a rendezvous account with God. Yes.
To add to that, you say you may not get answers. It doesn't mean that if you ask, it doesn't help somebody else.
Could very well be. As I said, I'm not doing justice. It's an excellent question, but absolutely. So gentlemen, let's make davening normal. The abnormal davening is saying the sitter and all your concerns are over here. Normal davening, as Chazal taught, as we quoted from the Shulchan Aruch today, is put your concerns into the sitter.